new Sabbath we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gashami Dudhyampi Tapyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gashami Dudhyampi Tapyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samadaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without the self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassion and comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassion and aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply bow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 brave prohibited precepts. Not lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to permit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics. Nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma, and in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, or even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day. There must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. Have the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this one? Tom.
I'm just going to describe this experience I'm having right now.
Uh-huh.
A lot of energy.
Yeah,
a lot of energy. It's a common experience. And my heart's beating about 3 times more per minute than it normally does, or 30 times per minute. And, ego wants to siphon that off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it commonly does.
Uh-huh.
And just staying with it as I am right now, and being very present to it, I get to have it. The being gets to have it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So the body's experiencing tons of energy right now. The heart is just beating three to thirty times faster than usual.
Yeah.
Your awareness is aware of conditioning trying to siphon it off, and the being gets to have the energy because it is just there, and just there. The being gets to have it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes. And I saw a process yesterday during the workshops I had not seen for a long while. I was quite surprised it had resurfaced, because it dispelled a belief that I thought I had worked through that karma and it wouldn't come around again.
Yeah.
It's funny when you say it out loud.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that karma would never come around again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There it is.
There it is. A little content to kind of show the trigger of the process. And I had position myself to participate in the first workshop, mm-hmm. to Star 6 and announce myself, and that on this end we're having a few technical difficulties,
mm-hmm.
and I announced myself to go next, and I wasn't heard, and that was alright, and a participant shared, and then the next time I went to do it, and someone else jumped in. That seemed okay. And then the next time I went to participate, that was the end of the session.
Mm.
Mm. And it seemed okay, but it was building quite a convincing case against a very young person.
Mm.
And it was super subtle, and it was a very, very, very slow
mm-hmm.
process. But what I saw later was this young person felt rejected
mm-hmm.
and not heard. And that was a very common childhood experience.
Mm-hmm.
So then, the being got shut down. Conditioning really saw that process. It's a process that's been used against this being continually throughout practice. And actually, that very process chased this being out of the monastery during monastic practice and quit practice for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So that's why this practice process, seeing it again, is kind of startling. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, it's a big process. Mm-hmm. So in the afternoon session, there were quite large gaps to participate. Mm-hmm. And totally identified with that five-year-old, no way. Mm-hmm. There's just no way I'm going near that poem. Mm-hmm. You know, there's humiliation on that end. There's rejection. There's not being heard. There's ridicule. All the things that mm-hmm. that young person has experienced. Mm-hmm. And then during the radio show, Sherry's their life. The very first thing the guy said was, "If anyone didn't get an opportunity mm-hmm. to share on their pods, well, leave a little opening here."
Mm-hmm. You go first.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and just frozen. Mm-hmm. Just frozen, just paralyzed. Mm-hmm. I couldn't move a muscle. And then that's when that was the tip. There I just got a little crack of distance. Mm-hmm. And I realized, oh my goodness, there's some super identification going on here. We'll see what it's about. Mm-hmm. Still wasn't able to participate.
Mm-hmm. So when there was that crack, that opening, and you recognized that there was identification with mm-hmm. an identity going on, mm-hmm. what was the, and maybe, I don't know if you practiced with it after the workshop.
Yeah.
So what happened afterwards? Did you talk to the mentor?
Yeah.
And what did you hear?
That's a great question. What happened was there was some space after the radio show and the next schedule. I had the next thing on the schedule. Mm-hmm. Went for a walk and pulled out the recorder and he got to talk. Mm-hmm. And it was just, he just went on like, wow, like, you know, I'm scared. I feel unsafe. Mm-hmm. And that was the movement I saw was, if we go, and that was the movement as a small child, if we go and do something, there's always punitive repercussions.
Meaning if you go and do something like push star sit.
Yes.
And don't get hurt.
Or even just to do that movement is very unsafe.
Uh-huh.
It's life-threatening. That five-year-old didn't know. As the guy has often said, when we're children and we're in a household that is very chaotic and very physically abusive,
uh-huh.
we don't know when we're not going to live that experience.
Right.
And that's what it felt like to that little five-year-old. Uh-huh. If I even go to that phone, I may not live.
I may not survive
that movement.
And so when you were recording and he got to just pour it
out. Oh my goodness.
And just talk it out and spread everything.
And tears and emotion. And it was really quite a thing that had never occurred before. He never really got to share his experience of what was going on.
He never really got to share, to express himself in a really safe place.
Yes, in a really safe place. Because what had happened, like that little crack of distance, the disidentification had grown and had continued, where there was enough presence to grab the recorder and say, "Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
You all right? This is the mentor. I'm here. Uh-huh. Would you like to talk?" And then that was my left hand. My left hand is only my mentor, uh-huh. kind of the heart side. And then I gave it to him, the right side, and then it just poured out.
Yeah.
Well, we got near the phone, and they didn't hear us, and then the next person butted in, which to him that's what it sounded like.
Uh-huh.
Butted in, and then they ended the session before we got a chance to he wants to be a participant, he wants to be a part of.
Yeah.
But when he was rejected, then he's like, "No, I don't want to be a part of it."
And then what happened after he got to really pour it out?
Yeah. Well, then the mentor just reflected. Just like, "Oh, so I hear you were afraid, mm-hmm. and you were scared, and you went and did this, and this happened, and then I hear you saying that happened, and I understand, and I feel you're hurt,
mm-hmm.
and I'm here with you, I love you,
mm-hmm.
I will never abandon you, I will never reject you,
mm-hmm.
I care about you."
Mm-hmm. So that little guy got to hear, "I'll never abandon you, I'm
mm-hmm.
here, I'm hearing you, I want to hear you, you're not alone,
you're
okay,
you're safe,
you
feel so unsafe."
Yeah.
There was a couple hours there between sessions, through lunch and then the next session,
mm-hmm.
where that leave came up, that karma of leave, and he
mm-hmm.
just wanted to leave. Like, I'm not safe. I'm like, "No, we're okay. Like, but I didn't, still was semi-identified, so didn't get the recorder out, and the mentor wasn't as present.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just feel that karma to leave. That's what he's always done.
Boy, that's so good to see.
Because as a child, when he left that situation, he survived.
Uh-huh.
When he got out of the house or went to a room that there was no adults around, he survived. So he knows his survival mode is to leave. That's the only way he was able to survive.
Yeah. So the karmic pattern is you feel that way and you leave.
Yeah.
And that's how you survive. That's the survival system.
That's the survival system.
And then in the after the workshop was over and you had that gap of space and you got to really get with the recorder and be with the mentor.
Yeah.
And he got to just pour it out and express himself in a really safe place. And and the mentor reassured him and said, he's here, he's safe, he's heard.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Wow, that was interesting because most of that identification, that self-hatred and egocentric karma conditioning had projected on him was interceded by the mentor, and so there was no way to get at him. But there was this kind of awareness or realization of, we've really been practicing for a long time in mentoring that little one and not allowing the projection of conditioning on him, and how that opening got there was just fascinating to see. Like, oh my goodness, it was allowed to happen, and it's something that we had aspired not to allow to happen because of what he goes through. But
it was met with. What did you say? Would you say it was met with compassion?
Yes, that's what it was met with, compassion, and no feeling bad, no blame, and it's no wonder he didn't want to participate. I understood fully. If I went through that and had those traumatic experiences to call upon, and that was my life experience, I'd do exactly what he did.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, it's kind of interesting, isn't it, how those karmic, you know, as you said at the very beginning, that karmic pattern hasn't shown up in quite some time. And here you are within the structure of this safe place of the monastery with all this practice under your belt. You know, it's almost like life offered that opportunity to see it when you were at your most compassionate place.
Wow.
You know? Like, okay, Todd's really ready for this.
Wow.
And it's infinite love, infinite support.
Yeah.
This is when he gets to see it and really meet it with compassion.
Yeah, it's everything is arriving perfectly for us to end something.
Yes.
You know, my three words that came up because I was noticing that last night when I was doing my daily evening review, and he calls it adventures in awareness. That's his word for it. He'll say, oh, we're doing our adventures in awareness.
Uh-huh.
He talks a lot now on the recordings. He never used to, but he'll talk, and he is a self-person. I mean, he's single-focused. He's got his own voice. He comes out when it's safe. And I saw that our words were authenticity, compassion, and love.
Authenticity, compassion, and love.
Yeah.
That is really, as you're describing the whole conversation with the recorder, that is what was there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Authenticity. Everything got to be exactly as it is, met with compassion and love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The whole process of mentoring that very young, vulnerable, traumatized person was met with authenticity, love, and compassion.
And we might even say that. Well, that's who you are.
Yes, that's
three words. That's what you are.
That's what
authenticity, compassion, and love. You know, you recognize that little part as a conditioned karmic process.
Yeah.
And what showed up, what was called for, and what met that was authenticity, compassion, and love. And we can, you know, if we're going to identify with anything, we can identify with that.
Yeah. There's tons of gratitude. I was listening to that recording this morning of him, of the two-handed recordings we did, and wow, it's just that to be witness to that, to be present to that whole ability to be able to do that with this being,
Yeah.
And the parts of this being that make up the whole. Mm-hmm. It's really
huge, isn't it? And the huge energy you described.
Yes, huge energy.
And, you know, it's really, you're watching it. Okay, an unconditioned going to try to type this off. Here it is.
Yeah.
Just to be the awareness that holds it all.
Yeah, just to be the awareness that holds it all. Mm-hmm. The entire experience of all the experiences.
Yeah, it's really, yeah.
Thank you.
I too found yesterday wonderful. And I saw some interesting things. It feels pretty powerful. One of the words that we came up with, three words that described our three main values, mm-hmm, in our life. And one of the words that came up spontaneously was spontaneity. So as part of the follow-up to that, and, you know, how I could work with that, mm-hmm, as a practice on a daily basis, mm-hmm, I think the wording about with this is pretty interesting. What came up is, what would I be allowed to do, mm-hmm, if I could do anything in this moment? So I thought that's kind of interesting, mm-hmm, there, that, you know, it's kind of a clue that there's some orchestration going on,
uh-huh,
of this, what this person is, you know, allowed to do and not allowed to do. So I started playing with that, and of course, conditioned mind would tell me it was going to come up with something outrageous, like, you know, if I was really spontaneous, I might, who knows what.
Oh, God only knows what you'll do if you're allowed to be spontaneous.
And really, it would, yeah, be something probably not allowed.
Yeah, something not allowed, terribly inappropriate.
Yeah,
like that.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, what blew me away was what came up is dancing, but also I would smile. And so what I saw in that, uh-huh, was the lifelong control of this person. Uh-huh. To away from happiness. There's been this campaign.
Yeah, that's exactly what
there's been this entire lifelong campaign to use the life force and not have and not allow this being to have it. And that includes a continual story about being depressed and, you know, all that goes with that and how, you know, when in fact, what is there authentically is just this person wants to smile and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff about the depression and all that has nothing to do with this authentic person.
It's all the propaganda.
It's all
campaign.
I almost said a bad word.
I bet we all went right there.
All that propaganda that has been fed for years, and unexamined and taken in as, well, this is the way it is.
Before now.
Mm-hmm. And, and then I saw, I don't know, you know, the guy has just said this so frequently, but, you know, that this is just a system that's just here to devour us, actually. Mm-hmm. Devour this energy that would be here for who knows what, mm-hmm, untold possibilities, untold. And, in addition to that, I saw during the final session of the afternoon, when the guy was speaking, incredible tiredness overcame me, just, mm-hmm, intense sleepiness. This is not an uncommon experience. You know, I'm kind of here, but kind of gone, mm-hmm, you know. I'm aware of the words being spoken, but, you know. And then there's a story, well, of course, she woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, of course she's going to be tired. And then I remembered that when I was 18, I would experience this in certain classes mm-hmm. that I was in, like computer programming, and you know, I was just like, you know. And I saw that. I know this is total paranoia, but I saw that I've never been. Whenever there's like an opening to move beyond a particular karmic bent, the system has shut down mm-hmm. any possibility mm-hmm. that new possibilities or new orientations or anything like that could be allowed. Mm-hmm. It's been that. And so I've just seen since a young person, there's been only certain ways that I've been allowed mm-hmm. for my life, or tracks mm-hmm. for my life to go down. Mm-hmm. And they have not included being wildly successful financially mm-hmm. or wildly successful academically mm-hmm. or, you know, it's just
spontaneity.
Or spontaneity or creative mm-hmm. or creatively, mm-hmm. you know. And it's just, you know, been that constantly folding back in. Nope, we're going to keep you right here in this little spot. And,
that's a lot to see. So you saw it, let me just kind of reflect some of that then. So the experience of the day was a lot of insights into what the system has been doing to this human, and how it and really the constant campaign around depressed, just not sad, you know, energy, no mm-hmm. success, no, you're just this, you can't be too big in
right.
any way,
right.
And that word spontaneity from the list made it through that propaganda system
yeah.
and landed. And what the human saw the possibility of was smiling, being happy, transcending that system that constantly tries to devour the energy to keep this human in its place
yes.
so that the system can have all of the life force that really belongs to this human. And then seeing how, you know, the memory from when you're 18 and young, that to see that system has been operating all through the decades is really quite helpful, isn't it? To see, because it's nothing personal. It's just something that has been, that is, you may know,
yeah.
part of the karmic
right.
system of
yeah.
suffering that
yeah.
we are here to transcend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. Yeah, just getting so much more distance
mm-hmm.
on
distance. On
that karma
yep.
that just runs through. It doesn't care. It attaches itself to any host.
Sure. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And
any and every host.
Any and every host in it. And And so. And since then, just a lot of, there's been a whole lot more access, it feels like, to love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, just a whole lot more softness.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's arriving is there's just a whole lot more authenticity that suddenly got to see. Pop, or you know, to just come through.
Yeah, yeah.
That armor.
Yeah.
That had been, you know, that. Yeah. Anyway.
So when that system was really seen in that distance,
mm-hmm.
getting some more distance from that process, then what it actually experienced is the authenticity
yeah.
that is there when
yeah.
that. You know, that it really is the human. You know,
it's what the
system is trying to steal, right?
Right, right. And I'm reminded of, you know, just the guide saying that all that's required is for us to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that place, It's all.
We have it all.
It's all cared for. Mm-hmm. It's all taken, you know.
Yeah, it's all cared for.
It's all cared for.
It's getting here. Uh-huh. It's all cared for.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do.
Nothing to do, nothing to figure out, nothing to
fight,
fix or fight or.
Up.
Yeah. So that was who knew? You know. Seemed like it's one of those regular everyday workshops, but yeah.
Well, you know, I project the heart new and it's delighted that the human now knows it.
Yeah.
I had kind of an interesting experience too yesterday with the workshop. And I don't know if I can quite explain it, and I'll just start talking.
Okay. That works.
So on that list of 89, what was it? What were the qualities? Values.
Values.
As I read some of them, I was aware of, no, that one's not for you.
No.
Certain ones. No. And so I just believed it for a while. And then at some point, it was during lunch, I was kind of looking at that, and the words were ease, fun, contentment. I think there was another one. You can't, those are totally not for you. Uh-huh. And the reason is that this, my biggest karma is avoiding discomfort. Uh-huh. And so, if for me, those kinds of words mean that I'm just stuck in my karma, avoiding discomfort, just being my conditioned, this conditioned person's running that story.
So let me see if I'm with you. So when those words, when you kind of went down the list and saw those words, ease, fun, and contentment, you heard a message that said, no, those aren't for you. And the reason is because, well, because those words represent your karma,
yeah.
That you're just, if you go with those words, it's really just indulging your karma.
Yeah, it's going to get bogged down and all as if I'm not already.
And thank you, pseudo-Zen, right? You know, any type expert or whatever it is.
So it was really kind of eye-opening to see I think what was so interesting to see is that I believed it so completely when it first told me that.
Uh-huh.
That was interesting. So the words I wound up with were love, kindness, and generosity.
Uh-huh.
And then what dropped in, arose, and passed through was, there's no ease and fun and contentment outside of love, kindness, and generosity. All of those words just fold back in on each other on that list.
Wow.
And of course, the ease, fun, and contentment and all that sort of thing of ego is anything but.
Wait, I missed a word
the
there.
Contentment of ego.
There was an ego.
Ease, fun, and contentment of ego are false.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So ego's versions of ease, fun, and contentment are false.
Yeah.
Okay. But the ones that the ease, fun, and contentment that are within love, kindness, and generosity are all authentic. They sort of all fold in. In fact, there is no real, true ease, fun, and contentment outside of love, kindness, and generosity.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Wow. And they all sort of folded in in one another.
Yeah. Nothing, it seems, nothing on the list, if you chose number 68, it excluded number 42.
Yeah.
Nothing like that.
None of them were mutually exclusive,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're pointing
to?
Yeah. 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 And that is such a neat insight to have, that when we're coming from center, authenticity, whatever, then there are, well, as it was said on the radio show, right? They're all aspects of the same jewel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And I loved how Sherry, even, you know, during the exercise, she gave us, she said this at least twice. Now, watch how you do this. Watch how you do this, how this process is, you know. And sounds like there was a lot of insight as the exercise was happening into the process. And that's what, you know, just seeing the voice come in and tell you this, and then seeing it later come in, oh, okay, it all folds in. You know, so really seeing the process as well as the content.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
I was just thinking that none of those words are mutually exclusive, and all of them can be taken over.
As in everything,
because that's what I was seeing. And you know, in the very beginning, when we had to bring to mind places, times when we were happy, and when we felt good about ourselves, and that what was so striking to me was that none of those things that arose had anything to do with where I live, what I do. They all had to do with exceptions. Times when I was somewhere else. Times when there were certain different circumstances. None of them had to do with the life I live day to day, with the places I go, the work I do, the practice. None of them.
So when we were invited to go to look at, you know, when we felt happy or when we felt good about ourselves, I think is what it was, when we felt fulfilled and satisfied, all of those things, you noticed that in what arose for you in those was always exceptions. They never had to do with your day-to-day life, what you did, where you lived, what kind of work you were doing, all of that kind of stuff.
I think I've noticed before, but it really stood out yesterday. And it's somewhat mystifying to me how pervasive that is, you know, how that happens. But it happens because the system is able. When I am somewhere different, when I'm released from my. I am released from my bondage
of the day-to-day stuff.
Right.
I'm released from that. Then I get to have these experiences.
That's right. But if this is, you know, I've got to show up for this, or I have to do this, or this is, you know, there comes with that a weight of expectation, performance, how it should be done, how other people should do it, how I should do it, how I should be seen, how it should be accomplished, how much should be accomplished, and there's no room in that for
being
happy,
feeling good about yourself,
feeling good about yourself, or feeling fulfilled. There's just, did I survive it?
So let me ask you, see if this is fun with you. So what it sounds like you're describing is that that on a content level, it may look like this. Okay, you're going to work, you're doing your job, you're in your day-to-day life. The process that gets laid down over that is, are you doing it right? Are they doing it right? Is everything meeting expectations and standards and the pressure? And somehow, sometimes, when you get into a different scenario, different circumstances, you get released from that process.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you get to feel those things, but it really isn't anything about the content.
Right.
It's about you get released from that ego judgment process.
Exactly. You know, and it's so like other people point to, it's so long-standing and so familiar that it doesn't even, I mean, it doesn't use those words. You know, there's no talking about
expectation or doing it good or anything like that. It's just the that's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
And do you feel it in your body?
Oh, yes.
Okay, absolutely. So you feel the sensation. It's not words, but you can really go to those sensations in your body. And that's what sort of, it's just the way it is. See?
Yeah.
So it's what this body is meant, you know, it's feeling.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I really had a dramatic experience of that. So we got our 10 words yesterday, and I just had all this energy and feeling good and, you know, being satisfied. And then we went to the chart where we looked at our areas of our life and how we were experiencing them and how that matched our values. And that's when it showed up. Okay. You know, home, you know, what I do during the day, I cook, I clean, something like that.
Don't have any happiness fulfillment.
No, that's not fun, you know, or doing the work I do in the county and sort of as an activist, and it's the work I enjoy, but the response I get back from people is not good, so that's frustrating, and so, you know, everything that was on that list that are high values for me, high priorities for me, are not experienced within my value system.
Yeah, so once you got to really see how things were, how the values were being lived or expressed or not, you know, in proportion with what your daily life is really like and what you value, that's where this insight came up. Like, oh, these are all things that have to be exceptions.
Right. Yeah, and you know, it's not a new insight in a sense. I mean, I remember times even before practice where I would be in some exercise or something and I would describe the way it felt most of the time as having like a one-ton weight on the top of my head, you know, just. And another word that came up was, you know, conditioning in my life is basically the mute button. You know, no, you can't have that, you know, or, and I'll notice it like just snuck home around the house sometime, you know, my partner might express something, you know, get excited about something and go, yay! And I just go, you know, it's not a big deal. What's so big deal about that? You know, it's nothing to get excited about.
So that gets projected, that process gets projected out.
So I notice it, and just sitting here, I notice that the three priorities I chose have already been taken over. You know, they've already now become something I have to do and be.
You mean the three activities?
The three priorities.
Oh, the three values of day?
The three values are now on.
Sort of got sucked into that system of muting it, calm down, don't get excited, this isn't going to change anything.
And these aren't really the ones, and, you know.
You really, that day was just a total waste. You didn't really get to the core of anything. And, well, so I'm curious about if there were the three activities or things that we talked with the mentor about at the end about how we want to practice if that was shown any light into how to kind of reclaim the process of living for maybe within practicing with those three.
I mean the mentor basically said in all those cases what we were talking about in group, I think it was on Thursday night, just bringing unconditional love and acceptance. You know, which in the moment that was really helpful and just like, okay, that's what we'll do. But then not long after the fact, it was just like, oh, you know, it comes right back in. You know, that's just that mentor ease and, you know, it's just pervasive. Or the three activities we're going to do every day, you know, those came up easily and were things that I want to do. And now it's like, oh God, I forgot to do that. You know, I mean, it's just.
So you're watching it get, you're just watching
I'm
it come
just
in.
Watching it do it in every way in which it can do it.
Yeah.
Good to see. It is. I mean, it's sort of horrifying in a way how, I mean, but you know, it's not. I mean, it's. you know, it's interesting. It feels sometimes, well, when I'm in it, it feels like it's almost impossible to get out of it.
Yeah.
But it isn't.
Maybe it isn't.
But it isn't.
Yeah.
Because there are many moments when I'm not in it. It's just that those, it doesn't point to those.
Of course, it never will. Yeah. Why would it want to put your attention to those when you're out of it? And it can keep you in it and make you think how horrifying it is.
And you know, and that's what I was really curious at and was looking at. So, you know, it can say, I don't like cooking. And so I'll watch the process of cooking, and there isn't really anything there I don't like.
Yeah, there's nothing inherently distasteful.
No, I'm right. I mean, maybe there or there will be something that happens in the community or something, and I mean it's all that issue of where is the focus of your attention.
Yeah.
If the focus of my attention is I'm trying to fix lunch and I hate cooking, I'm not going to have a good time.
Yeah. It's what Sherry was pointing at in the radio show, I think. Choosing our beliefs over our experience.
Exactly.
Your experience is, I don't hate cooking. Right. I don't hate anything.
Right. Yes.
But the belief is that I do.
Right. Which actually made me question a lot of the judgment of, you know, how am I experiencing those things right now?
Yeah.
Who's experiencing them?
Yeah. Who's calling the? Who's getting to write the narrative here?
Right.
Am I in the belief, or am I going to choose the actual experience?
That really does it.
Mm-hmm. Just takes it right back down to the focus of attention, doesn't it?
That's right.
Always does. Don't you love it? It's like
I know.
It's nice to have it boiled down to something so simple.
So simple. I mean, it occurred to me this morning. So there's this one place that's got a lot of angst around it, around some people in the county that are in official positions who are doing really awful things and being terrible. And so my focus is often on them, you know. So I don't want to go to this meeting because they're going to be there and do these things. But at the same time, me and a bunch of other people are going to go to these meetings and say the things we believe in. That's really good.
Yeah.
So if that's where my attention is, look at all these good people showing up day after day, even though they're being insulted and being not getting what they want. That's a different experience than putting my attention on the people who are saying ridiculous things and not doing what's right.
And so there's the choice to go with the belief of, oh, these are people doing horrible things and I have to focus on them and be upset about that, or there's the experience of I get to go to a meeting and say what matters to me. And with a lot of people that we all get to say these things that light us up, and that's the experience.
Yeah.
And again, where are we going to choose to have the attention?
Exactly.
Thank you. Karen?
Yeah. This is all really interesting, all the processes from the workshop yesterday. What I saw in the workshop was that when we did the things in the beginning, when we had the visualizations of when we were happy, when we were felt good about ourselves, and when we were happy, fulfilled, and satisfied. What I saw was different situations, because I didn't go to the same situation every time, because they could sort of all mean the same thing. But there were a number of different situations, and the common denominator in all of those was being there, being present.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Yeah. It didn't really, it wasn't a content thing. It was just that the person was open-hearted, present, willing, connected, you know. And then when I kind of turned over and looked at the list of 68 or whatever they were, 69 words of things that we value, what I realized is that when present, any of those are accessible.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it was like a list of words that, or values, or states of being that are within presence.
Yeah.
So that's how presence got to be my first on the list of three.
Uh huh.
But it's kind of it's more amorphous than some of the other words, you know. because presence is what always has been the most important, you know, on some level.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're all striving for, is to be present.
Uh-huh.
And somehow it isn't an every moment experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so so then the second word was on my my guidelines for the best year yet for this year was gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really my experience, is that when I'm in the space of gratitude, everything is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of the pathways that I've learned to use to get to presence.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just to start looking around and seeing, gosh, what I'm grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
So that was there. And then the last word was kind of a surprise one, because I've never used this word itself, and it was optimism.
Hmm.
Because what I experience in the conversation, you know the conversation that we're dropping
oh,
this
that
year.
Conversation, yeah.
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 That conversation is all negative.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've got 70 years of that going on, having made their impression. And I also am a 6 on the Enneagram, who have a lot of doubt and lack trust and things like that. So there's, I could just see that that would be a good word to focus on,
uh-huh.
To be present, to be grateful, and to be optimistic.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to put a slash after optimistic and put enthusiasm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Because there's this flatlining thing, you know, this kind of I'm not gonna really express who I am and how I am. I'm just gonna kind of be this.
I'm gonna be quietly, unobtrusively optimistic.
Well, you know, I haven't even. The optimism is
just
the brand
new. Okay, yeah. So
yeah. So
but
I'm sitting back. Hiding is the word.
Hiding
uh-huh. is the word. Because there is that strand of negativity,
yeah.
And I look out and I see other people, and they don't seem to be quite like that. They seem so optimistic and enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Lit up.
So yeah. Instead of going with the, maybe we might say the karmic predisposition of hiding out and being kind of negative and suspicious and, you know, all of that, you've chosen to go with enthusiastically optimistic and really
mm-hmm.
bring that focus, manifest that, I might say, in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not so much that I've chosen to do that. What I saw was that if I am focused on being present, focused on being grateful, the optimism will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was, that's where I want my attention to be.
Uh-huh.
Because that is there when that's what's going on. And so those things already go on.
Yeah.
Not like I have to fabricate it.
Right.
But to focus on it as something that I could develop in myself that would sort of counter this long history of, and the sixth part of it isn't really negative. It's more like the sixth is see, like the danger or the possibility for things to go awry, and they're usually, you know, like somebody has a big good idea, and they'll say, "Oh, let's do this," and then the sixth will say, "But you know, if you did that,
we could access this.
That this could happen."
Yeah.
You know, and it's like a big wet blanket over the party, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of feel I have. It doesn't feel negative when I say it, but I get the feedback that it's negative. So I've learned to think of myself as negative,
uh-huh.
not in that way, on the sixth parts.
Six side of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So what you're seeing is sort of the focus of what you want to practice with is in presence
mm-hmm.
and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
The optimism and enthusiasm will be there,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually practice keeping that in your keeping your attention
yes.
on that.
Yes, and in doing so, kind of develop them to become more of a a part of this this person. And the other thing I noticed in the previous processing is that that sort of getting sort of that sweeping view of the karma long range going on, and I'm not sure how it fits in with my three words at this point, but there's this increased awareness that over the span of my life, there's been what I would say was a value was being connected with people and having good relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
But as I look around at my life now, I don't have a lot of those things in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning that it has been, you know, what conditioning has been saying about how I am and how people don't like you and you're too this, you're too serious, you're too doubtful, you're too negative kind of thing that makes, that has been feeding a story to this person that creates a withdrawal from people. And then the withdrawal creates people not being close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not, I don't have that connection because it feels like they don't like me, but I'm seeing that because I don't feel likable, I withdraw.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, the response is proof.
Uh-huh. Reinforces the
story.
Yeah.
So, that's part of what I'm seeing, and, you know, not, and I think probably the work is basically on this person, because it's the believing that she's not likable, that it's kind of like face-to-face, it's self-hate.
Yeah, it's getting out of the conversation with self-hate.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
as you were laying it out, it all just reinforces itself through the conversation.
The conversation.
And as long as we're willing to engage in the conversation, it has the juice to keep reinforcing.
Yeah, and the interesting thing now, after the conversation has been going on for so long, it doesn't really have to say too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We know that conversation.
Body.
The body.
It's a physical.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really attending to that too.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to intercede in the human's behalf.
To save the human from that karmic system, as we were talking about earlier, is really just trying to devour her life.
Yeah.
And you're seeing it playing out in these different ways, and maybe in the relationships that she would like to have, that she could start getting pulling back, or the optimism that she would like to experience, but she kind of keeps getting told that, you know, there's too many, you know, all of that. Just letting her have the life experience she wants to have.
Mm-hmm. And this other workshop that we're doing outside of this particular format where we are here is certainly been something that has been really helped me to see a lot about the relationship.
Yeah.
Karma, and
it's kind of what we're talking about with Todd, that life just gives us the workshop we need when we need it, and when we're ready for it, when it's time to see these things, here is the opportunity to see them.
Yeah, I saw something new from one of the conversations.
Uh-huh.
So I also had the same experience of most of the times when I was happy or fulfilled or felt good about myself were not part of daily life.
Uh-huh.
And and the other insight I've had recently is that conditioning is always filtering everything.
Yeah.
And really questioning everything, like every thought, every piece of input that comes in from outside, just really like, I wonder if that's conditioning or if that's true, or, you know, once the thought comes in after I get the information, and then the thought comes in and it's like,
That's probably not true.
So having seen that conditioning filters everything, it sort of brought about this questioning now. I wonder if that's true.
Yeah. Even if it's an insight.
Yeah.
Like an insight, even like, okay, is conditioning talking about this insight?
Uh-huh.
Or is it really the insight? Uh-huh. Or is that really true in my mind?
Or is it
yeah. In other words, is it the experience or the belief or assumption? Mm-hmm. And so, and then the other mantra I have, they're all coming together, is to get comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sherry says to do crazy things all the time.
Yeah.
Like change everything, move your house all around,
yeah.
Do whatever, you know. And I started thinking about doing that sort of stuff, like to make daily life different than daily life.
Just to do anything to mix up the patterns that we can get in that keep us comfortable, in your mantra of being comfortable with the uncomfortable. So if I'm going to be, now I'm going to move my bed into a different part of the house or a different room, okay, that's going to be uncomfortable. How do we get comfortable with that change? And just start bringing those things into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Intentionally.
Because those are the times that you feel good about yourself. Centered, happy, all the things that are outside of it. It's that conditioned, habitual things that we do every day that create the suffering.
So sort of to disrupt that karmic pattern with whatever content that you continue that you may pick, it doesn't matter, because the point is the process of disrupting that karmic pattern. And you saw that in the exercises that, okay, my feeling happy, fulfilled, good about myself were the exceptions too. And so what can I do to create my life in such a way that I'm living in the exceptions, not in the, you know, the same old karmic?
And to be uncomfortable. Because a lot of
times, right?
I mean, when I first came to the monastery, all the voices screamed, get out of here as fast as you can, right? Almost the first 5 years, right? And then you stay and you experience presence and, you know, being here and beyond anything that you've experienced before. And then one of the other things in my work, one of my words was fun. I'm just a real serious person by nature, like karmically, I guess. And I know it's authentic being, it's not, but the personality is. And so just to start interjecting maybe silliness and fun things and just not taking things so seriously. And so last night I wore earrings and mascara.
You crazy.
You say I parted my hair on the other side. Nobody noticed yet.
But it's fun, yeah.
So you just start doing things like to be silly and.
Yeah, and again, the process is that somebody is taking those actions to interject some fun for this person, right? It's like that's the process going. It doesn't matter what it is. Mascara, earrings, parting your hair, you know, moving your bed, drinking out of a different cup, whatever it is.
Painting the cup, I mean, whatever.
What
difference does it make?
What difference does it make? So you get to live in the process of fun and new and mixing things up and present.
Yeah. So like if you're cooking, you know, do something crazy. You know, I don't know. Use different bowls and, make it all about the color of the food and the taste, or, all the things you can, for anything, cleaning, I have turned on loud music a lot of times, cleaning, and I just forget, and then I think, oh, what about the music? It's so much more fun.
Whatever it is. Because I predict it's because it's taking you into this different process.
Yeah. Or going out and standing in the rain, just being out there. This morning I was sitting on the porch and a hummingbird came up. I didn't even know they were here right now.
Wow. I always think about channeling Mary Oliver, just going out standing in the rain or whatever, because she's always, so nature. And there you're bringing that and got that experience of seeing the hummingbird.
Yeah. It scared me at first because, they make that noise. Yeah. Whoa. But that was uncomfortable. So I remember it.
Yes.
You remember those things that don't normally happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bring us back to present.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fine.
Thank you.